the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 17 this evening is where we're going. Verse 22, if you want to stand before you get too comfortable and settled in. Proverbs 17, 22 is where we're going to read. Proverbs 17, 22. Praise the Lord. Let's read this verse together. If you don't mind, just read it in concert in an audible voice. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dry. One more time. A merry heart. Broken spirit. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to come and to look into your word. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that you have given to us. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you can come and you can minister to us. I pray you would speak through my lips, your word. Take our minds as we think with them tonight. Take our hearts, set them aflame with a love for your word, a love for you, and a love for all people. In Christ's name, everybody say amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. I read this week about three elderly sisters who were discussing the challenges of growing older. And one said, you know, sometimes I catch myself with a jar of mayonnaise in my hand in front of the refrigerator, and I can't remember whether I'm needing to put it away or start making a sandwich. And the second sister said, yes, I know what it feels like. Sometimes I'm going up the stairs, I get to the landing, and I can't remember whether I'm on my way up or on my way down. The third one responded, well, I'm glad I don't have that problem, knock on wood. Was that knock at the front door or the back? Praise the Lord. How many know it's good to laugh? We've been looking at the book of Proverbs for several weeks, and as we continue tonight, we're looking at the subject of cheerfulness. Everybody say cheerfulness. We've called this lesson Cultivating Cheerfulness, and we're looking at scriptural joy, positive attitudes, and I think it's pretty clear that, and I think we can agree that we affect our health by more than just nutrition, more than just exercise and sleep. We affect it by our attitude. We affect our health by our spirit. And if we could paraphrase tonight's text, basically notice there on your worksheet, a happy and joyful spirit will improve our health, but a wounded, negative spirit can ruin it. So the question is, how is our attitude? You know, I was thinking this afternoon, it is unfortunate that many times Christianity has become associated with not only the lack of humor, but with a mean and harsh spirit. Is that not true? Now, I know and I realize that Christ and the gospel, it is serious business. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes I think we can take ourselves a little too serious. Billy Sunday, I think it was, he said, to see some people today, he said, you would think that it is essential to Christianity that you have a face so long that you could eat oatmeal out of the end of a gas pipe. I'm not exactly sure what all that means, but in pondering the age-old question of whether we are optimists or pessimists, I think the scripture would add another category, which is Proverbs talks about being a realist. And you know the old saying, when you see a glass of water, is it half full or half empty? When you personally go through one of those weeks that we all go through eventually, some of us go through them regularly. Are you basically positive at the end, or are you basically negative? I've met some people that seem to be eternal optimists, right? They always see the good in something, even when things are not going well. They tend to be the people who emphasize the positive. On the other hand, there are those who see things totally different. When tough time comes and, you know, they see the worst in everything. And kind of like Charlie Brown, who said, "I have a new philosophy." He said, "I'm going to dread one day at a time." You know, so it's been said that the optimist, you know, sees the donut while the pessimist sees the hole in the donut. And it's been said that the optimist is a person who invented the airplane. The pessimist is the person who invented the parachute. I guess if you put it that way, we need them both, right? But we need the perspective, I think, of really a positive aspect of life, as well as the aspect that looks at the problem and says, well, life isn't just a bowl of cherries. How many has learned that? How many has learned there's some pits there, too? And that's the fact, I think, of coming around to this place of biblical realism that the book of Proverbs deals with. I want to share a little bit about that, because I think it's one of the main topics you find trending through the book of Proverbs. So in order to do that, let's get our thoughts clearly focused. I want to share a number of verses with you, all of them coming from the book of Proverbs. Okay, Proverbs 12:25. It says, "Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." Solomon here reminds us that kind, positive words will cheer up those who are discouraged. How many's learned there's power in words? Have we spoken a kind word to someone this week? I trust we have. Proverbs 14:10, "The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy." Let me say it like this. There are those of us who have secret sorrows. There are those who, though we may look good and may be well-dressed and have a bright smile on our face, behind that smile, there's a story of sorrow. There's a story of heartache that we don't share with anybody else. Are you following me? Proverbs 14:13. "Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness." So how true it is that even when we are laughing and putting on a brave face for the crowd, so to speak, even when we're going through the motions and trying to be very positive, on the inside, there may be turmoil. There may be heartache and discouragement and even despair. Just because you see somebody laughing and smiling, how many's found out it doesn't always mean everything's okay? And underneath that laughter, there may be something we know nothing about. And Proverbs 40 and verse 30 says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones." Boy, this is a true life verse. Envy rots the bones. In the Hebrew, for rot, it literally means disintegrate. Envy disintegrates us. That's an important fact, isn't it? Because this verse is telling us that there is some kind of connection between the spiritual and the physical. There's some kind of connection between the heart and the body, between what goes on the inside and what happens on the outside. And the attitude of the heart has a direct impact on the physical well-being or lack thereof. And if your heart is at peace, it'll give life to the body. But envy causes the bones of the body to disintegrate. Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Proverbs 15:15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. The cheerful heart, that verse says, eats at a feast table, or the table of the Lord. Now, as we turn to the theme verse, Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know, I think we should really, I don't know if you are the kind of folks that write in your Bible, but if you are, put a star by that verse. Because it's suggesting something to us. It tells us that there's this relationship between the condition of the heart and the condition of the body. There's this relationship between the physical and spiritual health. And the word medicine in the Hebrew there is geha, G-E-H-A-H, which means a cure. A cure. This is the only verse in the Bible where we find medicine as mentioned exactly in this this context. There's really only one other time the word medicine is mentioned, and that's in Ezekiel 47, but it refers to the tree of life. Remember that? And so it seems like the tree of life is placed in our hearts by God in that we are self-healing mortals because God designed us to self-heal in the beginning. Okay? But the fall of man has eradicated the access to the tree of life. Remember that? But we can, in some small scale, and please don't misunderstand me, but in a very small scale, in a sense, bring it back in the sense that every time we rejoice, every time we are cheerful, it to some degree heals us. It's like good medicine for us. Praise God. Hey, how many know that it's been proven that people who laugh live longer? There's a definite link between a cheerful outlook and longevity due to the release, they say, of these disease-fighting cells. Melancholy people, however, have higher levels of stress hormones that damage their ability to fight off disease. Laughter. It's a good medicine. Amen. Jewish proverb, what soap is to the body, laughter is to the soul. Mark Twain, laughter is the greatest weapon that we humans possess, and it's the one we use the least. Abraham Lincoln said, if I do not laugh, I'll die. An unknown author said, love may make the world go round, but laughter keeps us from getting dizzy. How many know God has given us a prescription for joy? All we need to do is fill that prescription. And the text goes on to say, a broken, wounded, or crushed spirit drieth the bones. Literally means it sucks out the marrow, however you say it, of life from the bones. Proverbs 18:14 basically says that a man's spirit sustains him in sickness, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? We all know people who struggle with sickness, who struggle with weakness, yet when you go to visit them, they cheer us up. How many know what I'm talking about? People who are down and out physically, but when we go see them, they actually make us feel better because they are strong in spirit, even though their body may be racked with pain and wasting away. On the other hand, we all know people who are sick and yet their spirit is crushed. And when we go to see them, we feel worse when we leave than when we came, because they've sucked all the life out of us as well. Right? See, these verses are telling us that there is a basic relationship between our mental attitude and our physical well-being. And we need to keep that in context, because I don't agree with those that have taken that and ran with it and proclaim a gospel of total positivity. Just think it. If you know what I'm talking about, amen. Raise your hand and wave it at me. And said another way, what we are in our heart has a direct bearing on our physical health. You know, what is on the inside eventually manifests itself physically on the outside. And having said that, I want us to answer a couple questions. Notice on your worksheet, why is it, church, that a merry heart is so important? Well, first of all, because of the truth of Romans 8:28. You remember that? And we know that all things, everybody say all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. It is difficult. I mean, we live in a world that's difficult to live in. We live in a world that is filled with sin and sickness and heartache and despair. Thank God, though, that sin does not have the final word. Praise God, not in this world. There is a word beyond sin, beyond the fall, beyond the degradation, and that word, thank God, is Jesus. And because of Christ, and because that He has come into our world, there is now healing. There's now salvation. There's now forgiveness. There's now deliverance. So what is it Romans 8:28 means by all things? How inclusive is it? It is utterly inclusive. It includes all that can happen in the life of a child of God. All. It includes the good, the bad, health, sickness, wealth, poverty, sunlight, shadow, high noon, midnight, life or death. It is all that can happen in the will of God to the child of God. That means that Romans 8:28 is still true, just as true in the hospital as it is in this sanctuary. It means that when we are in the waiting room and that clock will not move and we know our loved one is in the hands of the surgeon, that no matter the outcome, whether life or death, cancer or no cancer, whether we see them again or not, we know that moment is ultimately in God's hands. And it is part of the all things that work together for good. There is nothing that can happen to the child of God, notice this on your worksheet, that is outside of the all things of Romans 8:28. Aren't you thankful for that? Oh, praise God. And so a merry heart is important, because God is saying to us, children, sometimes you will face things that you are not going to understand. Sometimes you're going to face heartache, pain, and difficulty that goes far beyond anything you thought you could endure. Sometimes you will be in the waiting room of life for weeks and months and years. But I want you, God says, I want you to know that even there I am with you. Even there I am working out my plan for your life. Hey, folks, that's good news. What we are to do at those moments is to stand back and over those unexplainable things in our life, we are to erect a sign that says, quiet please, God is at work. Amen. Romans 8:28 tells us that God is at work whether we see it or not, whether we feel it or not, whether we understand it or not, whether we believe it or not. So our attitude makes all the difference for the moment. And the question is not, Do we have all the answers? Because I assure you that at that moment, you'll not have the answer, right? And the question is, do you believe there's a God who's at work in that situation? The biblical answer is, yes, there is. And that is how we can have a merry heart, a cheerful heart, even in the darkest moments of life. We can have a cheerful spirit if we believe there is a God in heaven who loves us, who's at work in ways that we can't see, that we can't believe, and that we can't understand. Amen? So that's the first reason to believe. Secondly, because of Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. See, the Hebrew language has a number of tenses in it, and one of the tenses is called the causative tense. When you put a verb in the causative tense, when you want to say that one thing causes another thing to happen. So that's what we have in the Hebrew in this verse. The literal translation would be, a cheerful heart causes good healing. What the proverb is telling us here is that our attitude, the way we approach the problems and trials of life, actually brings about a good healing. Now that's amazing. I'm not sure if you're acquainted with the story of Dr. Norman Cousins. But for a number of years, he was on the medical staff at UCLA School of Medicine. And many years ago, Dr. Cousins was diagnosed with having a strange, rare kind of disease, he says, that destroys the connective tissues in the body. The doctors gave him a battery of expensive tests, and they basically said at the end, sorry, there's really nothing we can do for you. It's terminal. It's degenerative. And it will, in the end, take you out. Dr. Cousins said, wow, he said, I don't just want to give up. And so he set himself on a regimen of exercise, he said, and high doses of vitamin C. And then he added an unusual thing. He said, now this was years ago, so he rented a projector. And then he rented Marx Brothers, the Three Stooges, every cartoon he could find. And for hours each day, he would watch Marx Brothers, Three Stooges, and he said he would laugh until he could laugh no more. And what he discovered, this is what he discovered, was that 10 minutes of hearty laughter gave him a whole hour free from pain. So he would watch those comedy movies over and over again, and he discovered as he did this, he began to feel better and get better. And the day actually came when he went back to the doctors, and they said, we don't know what's happened, because this was an incurable disease. But as far as we know, you are cured. He lived another 20 years after that, and went on to write a book called The Anatomy of an Illness, in which he made the point that your mental attitude, the cheerfulness or lack thereof, has a great deal to do with whether you get sick, how bad you get sick, whether you get well, or how quickly you get well. What he discovered is nothing more than what Solomon told us 3,000 years ago, which is a merry heart causes healing. Did you know that according to one study I read, children laugh on average about 300 to 400 times per day, while us adults, we only laugh maybe 15 times per day? And some of us, that would be generous. Huh? Maybe we need to become like a child in this area, as Christ remarked one time, right? Several years ago, a pastor I know of, he wanted to research this out locally. He called a couple of the doctors. He pastored a rather large church outside of Chicago, Illinois. And he asked them to verify, to validate this from their own medical research personally. Because we've all wondered, what the mental frame of mind has to do with the healing process from a physician's point of view. And the answer they gave him was the same. At first, they would be very cautious and say, well, research was unsure about this. But then he would always bring it around. He would ask them, but your own experience. I want your experience. And he said, that's where it got interesting. Because he said, all the doctors that he talked to said the same thing. They told story after story of people who had come to them deathly sick, yet who got better amazingly fast because they went in that illness with a positive spirit and surrounded themselves with positive people. And the doctors also told him stories about people who should have gotten better, but who got much worse, and in some cases passed on, evidently, because they had such negative, hostile, hopeless spirits about them. And then this pastor asked one other question. He said, do you notice any difference in your practice between Christians and non-Christians? And the immediate answer was, yes, we see it every day. There's a big difference when we treat somebody who knows Christ and somebody who doesn't. They said, we see a tremendous difference in the healing process, in the attitude of those who know the Lord versus those who do not. Listen, church, should that surprise us? Why should it surprise us to read about Norman Cousins? All of that is nothing more than what was written here in our text 3,000 years ago. Solomon said it. Modern medical science is, they've just been catching up, haven't they? Okay, I want us to look at how to cultivate a cheerful heart. Would that interest anybody? Okay, number one. First of all, it starts by cultivating our relationship with God. We cannot have peace, we cannot have true joy without first having our relationship with God. Make sure you spend time with the Lord. Don't just seek peace with God, but remember, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. Cultivate our relationship with God. Number two, cultivate a forgiving spirit. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There are people who are suffering physically because they're angry. They're bitter. They refuse to forgive. What that verse I read a while back say? Envy rots the bones. Anger rots the bones. Unforgiveness rots the bones. Bitterness rots the bones. Maybe if we can't sleep at night, we wonder why we have all the aches and the pains, stomach aches, headaches, back aches, and we feel we're just a mess all the time. We don't feel right. Maybe if we look in the mirror, we might find a bitter person. Until we do something about that bitterness, we're going to be sick because the Bible says it will happen that way. It literally rots the bones. So cultivate a forgiving spirit. Number three, dwell on unseen realities. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, say this with me, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. I'm talking about dwelling on unseen reality. Think about the things that we know to be true through the Word of God, but we just can't see them yet. Things like heaven, things like eternity, like Christ and like the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. See, if we dwell on those unseen realities, we will be cultivating a cheerful heart. How's this one for number four? Keep the long view of life. Proverbs 15:15. This is the secret of Proverbs 15:15, which says the cheerful heart has a continual feast. Does that mean you will ha 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 your way through life? No. What it means is that if we take the long view of life, we can stand back and understand God is involved in every part of our life, not just the good part, but the bad. If we look at the whole thing, we truly can have a continual feast. Number five, associate with cheerful people. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications does what? Corrupts good manners. I believe some folks are messed up because they hang around messed up people. Amen, Pastor. We're angry because we hang around angry people. We're bitter because we're hanging around bitter people. We're mad because the people we're around are mad, critical, and angry all the time. Find some cheerful people to help make you cheerful. Praise God. Number six, be a load lifter, not a burden maker. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Don't be one of those people who makes life harder for other people. Be a load lifter. Praise God. Have you ever had a friend like that, carried a load, and you were in the middle of something, and I tell you, it was a heavy, heavy situation, and they just came on, came through, and they just began to either lift you in prayer, lift you with acts of kindness and generosity, meeting needs. Listen, folks, let's be load lifters. Amen. Number seven. Here's one. This is practical. Listen to Christ exalting music. Don't wonder why you're always feeling blue if all you listen to is the blues. 1 Samuel 16. Anointed music drives away depression. Heavy spirits have to be lifted when the anointing comes through a song, enters the ears and then into the heart. God gave music as a means of lifting sad hearts. And God gave us good music and told us to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to lift our heart. I encourage everyone. You think, well, that Jesus music is just for in the church. No, it's not. No, it's not. I encourage you, take the 30-day challenge. Go ahead, listen to 30 days of only Christ-centered music. You will discover the power of music in a brand new dimension. I know that'll be hard for some, easier for others. But I encourage you to try it. Number eight, live a life of love and generosity. Acts 20:35, Paul's example. I ran across this sentence this week. It says, a selfish man can never be cheerful. He can be happy, but never cheerful, because only a giver can be cheerful. Only somebody who invests in the lives of other people, only that kind of person can really be cheerful and positive about life. So remember, your heart medicine today, church, cheerfulness is a medicine. When we have a joyful spirit constantly on the inside, health and healing begin to flow. How long has it been since you've had a good, hearty laugh? A day? A week? A month? A year? 10 years? I know one pastor, I was reading him this week, reading an article he wrote. He said he was dealing with one lady in his congregation. Excuse me. Rewind. a doctor from this pastor's church was dealing with a lady and related to the pastor. And she was listing everything that was wrong, and he just asked her, he said, he began to show the positive healing aspect of a joyful spirit, and he asked her, said, "How long has it been since you've had a really good hearty laugh?" She tried to think, and she said, "It probably hasn't been since I was a kid." She said, "It's been at least 30 years. 30 years. Folks, there's a medicine available. There's a cure for some things that we're going through that's completely free. Has no side effects. You can take it as often as you'd like. It's laughter. It's a merry heart. You don't believe me? Determined to take your prescription tonight. And every day, at least 3 times a day, find something that'll make you laugh out loud. I'm not talking about laughing on the inside. I've done that. But no, I'm talking about release that joy of the Lord. Huh? You know, Christ used a word in the New Testament over and over again. In the Greek language, it is tharsay. T-H-A-R-S-A-Y. And it means cheer up. How many times did Jesus say, "Be of good"? Huh? He said it often. Be of good cheer. It can be translated, take heart. Sometimes it's translated in some records and instances as be courageous, don't be afraid, fear not. For example, the paralyzed man who was brought to Christ in Matthew 9. Jesus said to him, I think it was in verse 2 and about verse 6. Jesus said to him, "Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven." Basically, get up, take up your bed and go home. Immediately, the man took up his bed and started glorifying God. He was able to walk. He was filled with joy. Again, in Matthew 14, 27, Jesus walked on the stormy seas of Galilee and looked into the frightened eyes of his disciples who were trying to row in the middle of that storm. Remember that? And when he saw that they were afraid, thinking that he was a ghost, Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid." In all the storms of life, we can hear the voice of Jesus from the New Testament saying to us, "Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid." On the last night in the upper room, Christ once again started telling his disciples he was going to die. Remember that? But they just could not accept it. And so Jesus looked at them and said, "I've told you these things, that in me you may have peace. In this world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Praise God. You and I only have limited control over the circumstances that come our way. We are not sure what the next few months, years is going to bring our homes, our families, or bring our lives. Maybe some of the bad things we fear will come to pass. But there is that trust, that sacred bond that brings strength into our lives. And there's the voice of Christ saying to us, "Be of good cheer," because a joyful heart is the very best medicine that we can take as believers. Amen. Hallelujah. Sister Jones, if you want to come to the piano, I'll try to land this thing. God's word is alive with joy and cheerfulness. Yet for many of us, it remains a black covered, or in my instance, brown covered book that for some people just tells us tells them how bad we are. And so for them, it just sits on the shelf in between Sundays. Right? And even for some of us who do open our Bibles, we fail to find the joy of the Lord. Why? Maybe we've not availed ourselves to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And maybe we've not been filled and we're not full of the Spirit because we're full of negative attitudes. Resentment, fear, bitterness, envy, revenge, arrogance, self-love, etc., etc. And all of those things monopolize all of our time and energy. But folks, to be filled with the Spirit is to be full of love. Love is the first fruit of the Spirit. But somebody shout out what the second fruit of the Spirit is. It's spelled J-O-Y. Joy. I said the second fruit of the Spirit is joy. To feel His love and to know His joy, we need to walk out of the junkyard of our misery, slam the gate shut, and say, I'm through with all that negativity. Oh, the joy that comes when we realize that all the blessings, all the love, all the joy of the Spirit can be ours for the taking. One writer said, joy is the echo. I thought that was good. The echo of God's life within us. Let's stand together. Praise God. Praise God. What's the page number? Page 230. Page 230 in the hymn book, or if Brother Tim gets it on the screen, I don't know. Oh, hallelujah. We're talking about a joy, a cheerfulness, that when the world looks at the church, the world looks at the life of a Christian, a born-again, sold-out, surrendered believer. I tell you, it's a joy that's unspeakable, isn't it? Are you ready to sing this? Are you really ready to sing this? Now, you can't sing it with a frown. You can't sing it with a saddy face. You got to sing it with a smiley face. All right? We're talking about joy. I have found His grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free. Think about it. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Last verse. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. It is like a great o'erflowing well springing up within my soul. Oh, it is joy. Oh, sing it, church. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to close service here. We're going to do it a little different tonight. We're talking about the power of being cheerful. And one way we talked about is kind words. I want us to close. I want you to go. I want you to greet somebody. I want you to give them an encouraging word. All right? Don't lie to them. But give them an encouraging word. Like anything encouraging. Like, I'm glad you're here tonight. Or thank you for being a part of this family of God. All right? Yeah, that's it. Go ahead. Go ahead and start it. Let's sing it. God bless you. I want you to do that at least to one person. Please, before you leave, make sure you do it to at least one person. All right? Let them know. It's good to see them here. If you see a visitor, get their name. Tell them it's good to have them here on a Wednesday night. Oh, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, or the half has never yet been told. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full.